Check out his ministry at www.gardenmissions.org. So, we've gotten to know Nathan a little bit better over the last year or two, maybe, from meeting at certain places, and we are so glad that he accepted our invitation this morning. So, without... and his mama's here, Judy. You can kind of tell. So, just after service, please make them feel welcome. So, I think without ado, I'll have Nathan come on up, and you can tell us a little bit more maybe about your missions before you speak.
Good morning, Outfitters. Good to be with you guys. Amen. So let's just open up in prayer real quick. And the Holy Spirit's already here, but Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone here. And we just give this time into your hands. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, for just giving me the words to speak. We thank you for just moving in our hearts this morning to give us a fresh encouragement, a fresh fire, Father. Yeah. We just thank you right now for just touching us in a special way today, God, for speaking to us, giving us clear direction and the clear path ahead, Father, even in each one of our own lives, God. We just thank you for what you're going to do this morning. And in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you were singing Jesus this morning, that thought came into my head. You know, in the name of Jesus, it's not just something that we say. It's actually a position that we take in the Spirit. I remember seeing, you know, Yahweh, the word Yahweh in Hebrew. And if you line all of the letters of Yahweh up, it makes almost like a doorway. Yeshua. It makes like a doorway. It's actually like an invitation to enter into his name. And so it's actually a position that we take in his kingdom. It's like we are in the name of Jesus as we go. We are in the name of Jesus as we're going into our workplace, as we're going in and spending time with family. Wherever we go in the name of Jesus. So that was just triggered my memory this morning when we were singing that. So I'm going to, God just led me, he wants me to kind of just talk about, you know, where Garden Missions has come from and just kind of give you just an update of what we've been doing and different things. So I'm from Kenosha, those of you that don't know. I grew up there. My parents started a ministry there, and right out of high school, I went into missions. I went to mission school, and I was praying about where to go, and God just clearly said, go to Heidi Baker's. So some of you know Heidi Baker. She's in Africa, and that year that I went, there was a bunch of terrorists that rose up within Mozambique, and so they had to change it up, so we went on a traveling school. And so we went to like 6 different countries, that school, and God just really just touched my heart for missions. And so I came back and I went back to work and for a couple years, and then I started getting back into missions, doing small mission trips here and there. And I was in Brazil and Colombia. I was in Colombia, and God said, "I want you to go back home." And immediately I went and booked a flight and went back home to Kenosha, and 3 days after I got home, all the borders shut down for COVID. And God started speaking to me about making Kenosha my mission field. And so we started going out on the streets and doing worship in one of the little parks in our downtown and just praying over people, and we were seeing people get saved and different things like that. Well, little did we know that very park that we started doing ministry in would be where the Kenosha riots were centered. And so we, during that time, were able to be down there praying for the police, praying for the people on the streets, the rioters, the protesters. And we really just began to see just a move of God in that little downtown. More and more people, more and more churches started coming down. pretty soon Sean Foyt heard about it. He came down. That's where I met Anna. and we were really just seeing God move. And so even the next year, 2021, we were down there, and I just really made Kenosha my mission field. And then in the end of 2021, I just heard God say that the grace for staying in Kenosha is lifting. And I literally like felt this desire, like I can't stay here anymore. Like I need to go. And so I started just praying, and people started calling me out of nowhere, like, hey, can you come here with me? Can you go to Uganda? Can you go to Guatemala? And God said, say no to all of them. And so I just didn't know what to do. I kind of put it on the back burner. And one day I came home from work. I sat on the couch, turned on the TV, and it was a commercial. And I was just kind of sitting there trying to relax. And I just heard God speak to me. And he said, I want you to listen for things about Botswana. And I'm like, I don't know where Botswana is. So I look it up on Google Maps, and I'm searching, and I knew nothing about Botswana. And I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what to do with this, so I'm just going to sit on it, kind of. And when that commercial ended on the TV, it went into a documentary about Botswana. So I'm like, okay, God, it makes sense. Okay, I'm going to start just being aware. And everywhere where I went, in the stores, I'd see magazines about Botswana. You know, even on Facebook and Instagram, everywhere I went for like 2 or 3 weeks was about Botswana. And so during that time, one of my friends, one of the networks we're part of, posted about a new missionary couple that just went to Botswana about a month before I saw this. And so I got a hold of them, and we started talking, and was asking and trying to see what it would look like for me to come out there in the end in November 2021. And so we started planning, and about a week later, I went to the Racine prayer rooms, which some of you may know, Carolyn and Pete, and God just really had an encounter with me in that place. Or they were talking about intercession, and I went into this experience where it was like I was above the earth, and I could tell God was standing next to me, and we were like just hovering above the earth, and all I saw was this giant hand come and take my heart and put it in the soil of Botswana, and I began to weep in the natural, but it was like in the vision, my tears were like the rain that was watering the seed, the heart, in the soil. And so this like really impacted me. And I told the new missionary that I had just met in over online about this experience. And he goes, really? He said, so that would have been your nighttime. That would have been our morning in Africa. He said, that was the first time it rained in Botswana in about 7 months. And so that really just like ignited something within me where I said, okay, I'm definitely going. And so the next day, again, I'm on Google Maps. I love Google Maps. You find all kinds of new places. So I'm on Google Maps, and I'm searching like the region and the area, and I see Victoria Falls. And that's always been somewhere I've wanted to go. And I'm like, God, if you can make some kind of connection in Zambia where I could go just visit the Victoria Falls. And it wasn't a prayer. It was just kind of like, God, if you can make this happen. And the very next day, I get a call from my friends from Egypt saying, hey, we're doing a trip down to Zambia. Can you pray for us? And I said, no, I'm coming with you guys. Like, and so I went, and it worked out. They were going about the same time I was going to Botswana. So I was able to go to Zambia and then Botswana. And while I was there, God just began to move in me. He was stirring in me about starting a missions organization down there. And just, he was opening all kinds of amazing doors where, you know, I stayed with the YWAM director in Zambia. And I didn't know that she had just resigned about a month before. She was going through a horrible season in her life. And God just connected us together. and she's now our director for Zambia. But through that connection, God started opening doors with big pastors, and come to find out, our neighbor just a couple blocks away, he was one of the big generals in Zambia. And so we became really good friends. That was the first church I ever spoke in, because he was not just a general, but he was a pastor. And so his church was the first one I spoke in of like 800 people. And it was just an amazing time to see God just begin to move and create connections. And during that time was, if anybody remembers the Omicron COVID thing, that happened, that came from Botswana. And so as I was preparing, as God was opening doors, we were seeing, you know, people healed and delivered and people saved. I was also preparing to go to Botswana, but there was this uncertainty if I was going to be able to get out of Botswana. And so some of you have heard these stories, so bear with me. But so I was just praying, and the general goes, well, let me ask someone. And so he makes a phone call and explains my situation. The missionary is trying to go to Botswana and he doesn't want to get stuck. And he hands me the phone and he says he wants to talk to you. And so I answer the phone and, you know, hi, this is Nathan. And he goes, hi, this is Lieutenant Colonel Stiebrel. He says, with the U.S. military. He says, I'm over most of the region of Africa, but I'm stationed in Zambia. And he says, I'm also a strong Christian. And he said, I want you to know that, he says, go do whatever mission work you have to do and keep my number. He says, because any time you get stuck or need me, he says, just give me a call and we'll send a helicopter for you. So we got to know him. We've had him over for dinner at our house in Zambia a few times now. And it's just an amazing connection. So I went to Botswana, and in my heart, like, you know, I didn't make it public, but in the core of me, I'm like, okay, God. So I was in the capital city in Zambia, Lusaka. And so I know you can make connections like that where there's people. I mean, there's 3 million people there. But now I'm going to the bush. Like, there's 2,000 people in this little village. I'm like, what possible connections could you make in the bush? And so we got there, and it was amazing. We went to different villages, and we saw just God moving in deliverance and healing, and amazing things. And we got a phone call just before I was about to leave. About 5 days before I was going to leave. And it was this lady in the village. She had heard I was there, and she wanted to meet me. And I'm like, I guess it's just a small town. Everybody, you know, hears that there's an American in the village or something. But this lady, she would be like the equivalent of our senator. And she happened to live in our little village. And so when we went over to her house for dinner, she just looks into my eyes with like a mother's heart. And she just goes, you now have a Botswana mom. She's like, anything you need, she says, just let me know. My best friend is the president's wife. She says, so we can make sure anything happens. And so it's like, just God just blew me away. That was like, you know, 2 weeks in each country, and God was just blowing me away. And so I came back. We did the legal paperwork for getting Garden Missions going here, and then the next trip I got the legal paperwork done over there. And as I was praying, even about how to name, you know, what to name the ministry, God says, you know, I want from that place of intimacy with me, from that place within, that's where you have to go into the earth. That's what I want, little gardens spread across the earth. You know, that was the goal even back in Genesis. He said, go forth and multiply. You know, the garden was never supposed to just stay in Eden, but it was supposed to be spread across the earth. Amen? That is the mission that God always wanted, is for us to expand, to multiply, to subdue the earth. And that is what the vision of Garden Missions is to have these little houses of prayer and worship, these little places throughout the earth where we are literally being gardens in the dry places, where we are housing the presence of God and then going forth. You know, yes, we're missions, but it has to be rooted in the presence. It has to be rooted in Him. Because no matter how many people we feed, or if we start schools or clinics or all that, that's a byproduct of what's really going on inside, of the relationship, of the kingdom that we carry inside. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So in the past few years, well, not few years, few months, 6 months or so, God's really been having me step in to more of the apostolic, more of the prophetic. And so this last time I was in Zambia, we went between Zambia and Botswana, and we were training people. We were training people in treasure hunting. We were training people in, you know, changing the atmosphere of regions. And one thing that God laid on my heart this last trip, and I usually spend 3 months there and 3 months home. And so I go back and forth. And what He laid on my heart was to pray over the water sources. So there's a dam in Zambia and there's a dam in Botswana, and He put those places on my heart. And so what we did is I took my team, we have about 6 or 7 people, and we brought them down a 3-hour drive to this dam in the southern part of Zambia. It's a massive lake. And the water, I guess, in the last year, because it's like a drought right now, has gone down like 20 feet. And so we went there and we were declaring, we did communion to the land, and we were just prophesying over this place. We actually went on the water and island hopped. There's these little islands where the fishermen go and fish. And we spent maybe 3 or 4 days there. And these people were hungry. There's no church in the entire region, like 3-hour radius. And these people are just so hungry. We saw so many salvations, and we were trying to establish a network where one of the local pastors, like 2 or 3 hours away, would come on boat and just help disciple these people. And we saw a lot of healings and miracles. But what the most amazing thing was as we left that place, it began to rain. And over the next day, the waters of that lake rose 5 feet. And so my team got to see that, yeah, it's not just words that we're saying. We're not just decreeing and declaring, but we actually get to see the results of the prayers that we're praying into the land. And we actually get one thing that He had me declare over that lake is forbidding the witchcraft to work and operate on that lake, which is something that we need to start doing, is taking and binding those things and forbidding them to happen, because that's the authority that we carry. And so we took my first road trip, because we were able to buy a van earlier this year. And so I took my first long African road trip that I've driven all by myself. 20-hour drive in Africa. We went from the capital of Zambia, Lusaka, to the capital of Botswana, which is Gaborone. And we met up with one of our partner churches there, which is, it's a very strange church. And I say that because they're like us. They're very apostolic and prophetic, and they just, they're in the same vein as us, which is kind of hard to find in Africa. If you find a prophetic church, usually they're a little tainted, you know? And so this church is really awesome. And so we took teams out, and we prayed at their church. We did communion to the land, and we did it at the dam. And the same thing happened where this, I was there last year, and the water was high. And I went there again early this year, and the water was down probably 20 feet in this dam. So we began to pray. We gave communion to the lands, just declaring the blood of Jesus over the land. You know, as we take communion, it's a symbolic thing that just says that the blood of Jesus covers me, that He has made me whole, and it's remembering what He did on that cross. And that's what we're doing when we just give communion to the land. It's a symbolic representation that all the witchcraft, all the past things of you know, the generations that have happened on this land, it's wiped clean under the blood. and that the holes in the things that need to be filled are filled with the body of Jesus. They're washed clean with the blood of Jesus. And so as I'm explaining this process and different things to the team, you know, a lot of them are like questioning this. And we just began to pray. And I told them that, you know, Pete and Carolyn from the Racine Prayer Rooms, they did this at a Masonic lodge in Racine. They went there 3 times and gave communion to the land. And on the 3rd time of going there, they gave the communion to the land, and this massive spider came out of the little hole that they had dug with their heel. And so they squashed that thing, and, you know, just it was a cool, just symbolic thing of the demonic being crushed. And so I was telling this story to the ones in Botswana, and they were like, wow, this is awesome. So we do, you know, I dig my heel in, we make a little hole, we pour the juice and the cracker in, and we dig, we cover it back up, and we just declare over the water. We forbid those witchcraft spirits from operating. We declare the blood of Jesus over this place, and that the glory of God would just, this would, I actually remember saying that whatever demonic things would happen on this water, now it will be a place of baptism. And out of nowhere, this snake comes. And they just got done hearing me talk about the spider. So now it's like real to them. They're like, okay, this is like real stuff in the spirit here, you know? And so, you know, we shoo the snake away or whatever, you know? And now, but their eyes are open to like, this is real. And so now, as we're going out through this, the next day we were planning to go out and do evangelism in the streets, and we were going to teach them treasure hunting and again, doing communion in different parts of the land. Well, that night, it started raining. And again, the waters rose. They said this time it rose about 10 feet in that dam. And so we actually had to, like, postpone our evangelism till the afternoon because it was raining all morning, which they said it hadn't rained in, like, 2 or 3 months. And so, again, now they were fired up. They wanted to do communion to the land. They wanted to learn how to treasure hunt. And we saw so many things happen, which were just awesome. You know, just for me, it was kind of cool because during that time, God had showed me this kid wearing a long sleeve yellow shirt. And so I saw that kid wearing a long sleeve yellow shirt. But he wanted to do nothing. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus. But it was almost perfectly planned because it was able to show the team that sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes they don't want to receive, and that's okay. We just pray for them, bless them, and move on. But now the leader of their little team turned to me and he goes, "You have anything else? Like any other words or pictures or anything?" I said, "The only thing I saw, the only thing else I saw was a turquoise house," which I'm like, "There's no turquoise houses." He's like, "What's turquoise?" So I had to explain what turquoise was. And he's like, He's like that one? And we saw through like a couple streets away, we could see this little turquoise building. And so we walked there. And there was a little family sitting outside. And we just started talking to them and just seeing if they needed prayer for anything. And all of a sudden, I felt something shift in the spirit. I'm like, okay, what is this, God? And all of a sudden, we get surrounded by people. And we're like, okay, what is this? Is this a good thing, bad thing? And everybody wanted prayer. Everybody came. There was about 40 people that had come, and they were just wanting prayer. They were wanting to get healed. They were so the church we were working with actually established a little cell group in that place because it was like there was so much hunger. And so that was just amazing for my team to see, you know, as we're learning, as they're learning, and we're all learning, just to step more out into the prophetic, more into the apostolic of tearing down and uprooting and building up what God is calling us into. You know, last year, one of the cool stories I love to tell is I got back from Africa early last year in like beginning of February. And I was in worship one night, a few days after I got home, and about a week after I got home, And I had heard about, there is this worship thing that started down in Kentucky. And I wasn't sure about it. And God one night just said, I want you to go down there, which turned out to be the Asbury Revival. So on the second day, God said, go down there. So the next morning, I packed up a bag, went down there, thinking I'm probably going to be the only person there not from Asbury College, you know. And I'm just going to be this weirdo walking in, kind of like, hey. But as I entered, the presence of God was just so thick. And I just kind of sat there in the presence. And nothing special was happening that I could feel or anything. But I just sat in the presence, the peace. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be here a couple days. So I go get a hotel. I wake up the next morning. And now today, the presence is like you walk in and you get blasted right away. It was so strong. And so that day goes by. He's touching me. He's ministering in me. I end up staying 10 days. He just said, continue. He said, keep buying a hotel room. Keep staying down there. And I had friends come down from different parts of America, and they would stay with me. And we just saw God move, where it went from like 800 people to 1,000 people to 2,000. Pretty soon there's like 30,000, 50,000 people trying to get in to this little chapel. And so after this, I went back home, and God said, I want you to pray for the team in Africa to receive the same thing. And I knew that in a few days from then, they were going to go up to a part of Zambia that was really tough. A lot of Muslim influence, a lot of strongholds. And so I just prayed for them. I just prayed the blessing of God over them, that the fire of God would fill them and just follow them. And as they told me after the trip, that as they went in to the village, the very first person that they met was a pastor. And the pastor said that he was just so weary, he was just worn out and tired, and he'd been seeing his church just dwindling, and it was down to like 4 or 5 people. And it got so bad that his wife even decided to leave him because she said he was a failure. And so he was just he was in a broken state. And so God just put it on their hearts to just go on a Sunday morning and just, even with those 4 or 5 people, just pray over them and encourage them and lift them up. And so they went about and did, you know, feeding and evangelism and different things within the village. But on Sunday, they decided, let's go back to that house and we're going to pray for these guys. So they got there at the pastor's house, you know, and there's about 10 people there. And they just started worshiping and worshiping. And after a half hour or so, Pauline, our director, got up to just kind of encourage them. And God said, sit down. I want to move. And so she sat back down. And they just started worshiping again. And after 5 or 10 minutes, a few people walked through the door. So they're like thinking, you know, this is cool. A few people just heard there was music in the village and just decided to come. After a couple minutes more, a few more people came in, and a few more people, and a few more people. Pretty soon, everybody on the floor and standing up, there's like 50 people in the house. And it got so full that they had to open up the windows, and people were surrounding the house and just worshiping God. They said there was about over 150 people in and around the house. And they just were worshiping. And all of a sudden, they said it was like something just shifted. And they said the presence of God fell. And people just started crying out. People got healed without anybody touching them. People were speaking in tongues without, you know, anybody praying for them to speak in tongues. People were getting delivered. People were getting saved. They said that when they left that place, there was around 100 salvations as they left. And so they were just fired up. And so they went back to the capital city where our base is, just fired up, like excited. Because even before they left, they reconciled the pastor and his wife, which was a cool thing. And so they went back and they're like, okay, even though they did evangelism and they, you know, they were out in the villages a lot, they're like, we have to amp this up. Like, this is getting exciting, you know. And so they just started going out two or three times a week. And it was really our director's daughter that wanted to like do little discipleship groups and little things like that. And so she went to this area that's not too far from our mission house, and it's basically like a squatter camp. And she just started going around a few of them and praying for everybody. And one time they went into this bar and just started praying for people. There was like 10 people in this little, you know, mud hut bar. And the owner got so touched, he just started bawling. And he says, every Tuesday, I want you to come, because it was a Tuesday night. He said, every Tuesday, I want you to come and have church in the bar. And so they started going every Tuesday night. And it took maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And finally, he's like, I can't continue with this bar. Like, we have to shut the bar down. And this is just going to become like a meeting place for the church. And so they're just excited at this point, you know, because now the group is growing. From like 10 people, now it's growing to 20, 30 people, 40 people. Now, right now, our Bible study on Tuesday night is up to around 40 to 50 people. And we just gather around on little benches and chairs and rocks, and we just sit, and the glory of God falls in that place. We just see, you know, the kingdom of God moving so strong. And that's where we have just started our school. We now have a school. We have 160 kids. And that place is like a lighthouse to that little squatter camp. We are seeing God moving where now the kids are going home and praying for the parents, or they're coming and getting our teachers to, you know, come home and pray for their parents, or different things where we're seeing parents get saved weekly, where it's just become, you know, the light of God is shining in that community. And so we just saw so many people get saved. And then that pastor that they reconciled his marriage back together, he had to come down to this capital for some meeting, and it got canceled. So he went and spent a week with our team there. Got so fired up again, he went back up to his little village and went to two different villages nearby and started churches. And so now there's like 30, 40 people in each church besides the one church that my team basically started when they had the, God started when that little revival broke out. And so it's just amazing to see how God is just birthing revival in that region. I really feel like, you know, Zambia, it's a sending nation. It really is. You know, 60% of the population is under the age of 16. So it's like a super young population. And if you like raise the age to 25, it's like 80% of the population is under 25. And so there is a whole generation that needs to be discipled. That whole generation, their parents got wiped out by HIV. And so they are just a generation that's either doesn't have parents, or they're being raised by grandparents or aunts and uncles or different things. So us to go in there and to really start moving, we started going into universities. And we do massive like sleepovers at our mission house, where we just bring them in, like 40 of them, and we lay out mattresses and sleeping bags, and we just have like this big slumber party. And we do worship nights, we train them, and then we bring them out to the little squatter camp and just let them loose, where they'll just go and pray for people, prophesy over people, and most of them have never done this stuff before. But it's amazing to see how God is raising them up and just delivering them and healing them in the process of being raised up. And so that's actually what we will begin to do even more on this trip coming up. We have more different outreach things to do with the youth and gathering the university students and worship nights. And that's really our heart, is for this generation, this young generation, to just be built up. Because a lot of, especially in Africa, the younger generation is usually overlooked because they don't have enough knowledge or they don't have enough experience. And so in the culture, they just kind of get bypassed. And so we want to start doing worship nights with him. We want to start doing, you know, worship in parks and stuff like that, where we can actually start mobilizing the young generation. And so we're very excited about that. And you know, that's really what our call is. God kind of showed me a few weeks ago. He's been really giving me fresh revelation and new things. And he had me run across this term. It's a theological term called Missio Dei. It's mission of God. And a lot of different denominations and stuff, they believe in this. But God gave me a fresh perspective from an apostolic point of view. Because the mission of God, it's either interpreted mission of God or the sending of God. Missio Dei. It's the belief that missions is God's mission. And we are God's instruments. And so, I mean, that's the apostolic right there. Where God is all about reconciling. God is all about bringing back to him. And that's he's offering us to step into that with him. So, I just forgot I had videos. So maybe we can show that video of Zambia first. To kind of give you guys a picture. Because this is what we're entering into. I really feel like in this season, even in Wisconsin, God is uniting the apostolic back. He's really stirring in this region. And so this is just a picture of how God is doing it in Zambia. But it's the same thing. It's the same way. Amen. So one of the words when God first told me about Zambia and Botswana was that he would create a lot of strategic alliances. And there was this man I met. He was good friends with our director there, Pauline. And she just said, there's something about him I think you guys need to meet. And so we met, and he's a South African man. And he starts Bible colleges all throughout Africa. And so when we met, we just kind of clicked right from the get-go. And he came to me just last year, and he said, you know, I really think that God's telling me that when I pass away, you got to take over the missions organization. And so I was like, well, let me pray about it. Let me, you know, I want to go meet the people first. But then he said something. He said, the name of the missions organization in South Africa is Strategic Missions. And it brought me back to strategic alliances. And so now we're not only, you know, doing ministry in Botswana and Zambia, but now there's South Africa that's kind of tied into it as well, because I'm starting to go around. He has like 7 different bases throughout South Africa. And so I visited a couple so far, but now it's in the process of, you know, in the next few years, that'll be transitioned over to me and different things like that. So it's a very exciting thing as God is continuing to expand. But one thing about the apostolic is land. And so he's been talking to me about land in the past 6 months or so. And when I got to Zambia this last trip, God said, it's time to level up your faith. Like, you're comfortable right now. You're comfortable going back and forth. You're comfortable, you know, in what you're doing and seeing people saved and healed. And even though it's like, this is awesome stuff, like, I'm used to it. Like, it's kind of like God saying, okay, it's time to expand. It's time to stretch the tent pegs again. And so that week is where God started opening up doors, where even in our little squatter camp, land became available for us to buy. And so now we are in the process of purchasing land for our school. And another thing that has opened up is for us to purchase land in Botswana. And so our base in Botswana that we are renting, the owners asked if we would come and purchase it. They said, we don't want it anymore. And so for $20,000, they want us to buy the base, which has a 3-bedroom house. It has a dormitory. It has, you know, bathrooms and kitchens and, you know, all kinds of, it's about an acre of land. But the potential of that is just like an apostolic hub to that region. And just the same thing as we're seeing in Zambia, God is establishing these apostolic hubs, these gardens that will release life and birth life. Because for Botswana, God's already given us the vision. We're in a region called the Okavango. And it's this river that comes down from Angola. And it pools up at the Kalahari Desert. And so it just creates this huge marshland. And so there's all kinds of elephants and hippos and, you know, wild animals. But this area, because it's so touristy, the government has really forgotten about the people, because all the focus is on the animals and the land and stuff. And so this area, they actually call the forgotten land. And so there's like hundreds of thousands of people here. And there's only a couple missionaries in the entire region. And they're very not well supported, let's put it that way. We've seen missionaries out there that are starving, yet the churches that back them are getting funded with millions of dollars, but they're out there starving to death. And so this is really just a region that we see that God wants to stir in, and then even move up into Namibia. There's a little piece of Namibia. Move up into Namibia and then into Angola, and just bring the fire of God into Angola, because Angola is a really war-torn country. It's one of those last, like, war crime nations, and it's just broken right now. But there was one missionary that I knew that was from Botswana that went up to Angola and trained 4 pastors over 3 weeks. And he came back like 2 years later to meet with those 4 pastors, and those 4 pastors over 2 years saw 27,000 people come to Christ. And they've started so many different churches. So the gospel is ripe for Angola, but I believe it's going to start from Botswana, because Botswana has a pioneering spirit. And God showed me that. And one day I was doing something and God said, go look up where Reinhard Bonnke had started his ministry. And he started out doing like house-to-house visits in Lesotho, which is a small little African country near South Africa. But his first crusade, where he had 100 people come to it, was in Botswana. And so that is a pioneering nation, I believe, 100%. And so there is this connection that I believe between Zambia and Botswana, because as Zambia is a sending nation, they will be sent to Botswana, to our base in Botswana, and we will actually train them in pioneering. And so there's this sending out and pioneering movement that we want to start implementing throughout the two nations. And pretty soon, I believe, we will see missionaries sent all over Africa. And so that's exciting for me. But this time in Zambia, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I'm just sitting there in bed like, God, why am I awake? Like, I couldn't go back to sleep. And as I'm sitting there, I get an email on my phone, so I just decided to look at it, and it's Iris, Heidi Baker's ministry. And I get these emails a few times a year, and since I'm an alumni, they offer me to join their outreaches. And so I usually just like read the places where they're going and just say, oh, that's cool, and don't think twice about it. But I read that list of places. I went back to sleep, and I woke up with the words of one of the country, the letters of one of the countries in my head. And I said, God, really? And the words were the Amazon rainforest. And so I'm like, God, why do you want me to go there? And he's like, yes. And so I'm like, this is weird. This is just, I meant for Africa and Zambia. And why do you want me to go visit the Amazon? And so I'm like, well, I'll just need confirmation. So I went back to bed, woke up in the morning, and saw one of my friends had sent me this advertisement for this conference that was happening in the Amazon rainforest. And I'm thinking, why is he sending me something in the Amazon? And so the very next day, I dropped the teachers off at our school, and I had to go do something at a coffee shop. So I get to the coffee shop, and I'm like, I'm not supposed to be here today. There's just something in me. And God tells me a place within the capital city of Zambia. It tells me a place that's across town. And so I decide, okay, I'm going to drive that way. And I think along the way, I know of a little coffee shop that I can stop at. And maybe then I can just type up what I need to type up there. And so I get there, and I cannot find this coffee shop. I've been to this coffee shop, and I cannot find this coffee shop. And I'm asking people there, like, it's down the road. And I'm looking, and there's nothing but trees on this road. Like, there's nothing there. And so I decide, okay, I'm just going to go. There's a little bookstore I heard about. I'm just going to go check out this little bookstore, and maybe I can sit. Who knows? Maybe they have Wi-Fi. I don't know. But so I get there, and the gates are closed. And I'm like, okay, God, why am I here? Like, why did you send me across town an hour away to just drive around? And he said, yeah, I want you to just drive with me and talk. And so I drive and talk with him for a little while, and I start heading back the same way I came. And God said, now you can go to the bookstore. And as I'm driving in, they're opening the gates, they're opening the doors. And so I step into the little bookstore, and the first book right directly in my eyesight says The Amazon. And I'm like, you brought me all the way across town to give me this confirmation. That blew me away. I was so excited. I'm like, okay, I get it. So I sign up. I'm going to the Amazon with Iris. This was for, what was this? The end of May. No, the end of, in June. And so 3 days before I leave, I get a call that the base that is hosting us has canceled, and that they're going to have to try to find somewhere else for us to go. And so they did. They ended up finding somewhere else for us to go. We had to switch flights and cities and all that. And we land, and I still don't know quite why I'm here. I'm like, God, I'm just being obedient. And so we land, and they said, you're going to be working with Pa's church, and you're going to be staying at Pastor Rebecca and Rob's house. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't mean anything. I'm like, okay. And so immediately the next day we head out to the villages, and we start praying for people, and we're seeing God move and work. And after a few days, God just really moved. We saw the pastors, they just began to bawl, and we gave them the prophetic words, and it was just an amazing time where God was moving. But we went back to the little city where the base was, in Santarém, Brazil. And we started really getting to know the measure of Pa's church, because on the way to our outreaches, we saw 8 Pa's churches along the way. And we're like, okay, how big is this place? And they started telling us that each month they build about 3 churches. And God is just really sweeping through that region, where now they have over 1,000 churches that they've built. And in their city of 300,000 people, about 60 to 65,000 of the people in, of the population go to Pa's church. And they are like seeing just a revival sweeping throughout the country, because years ago, God gave one of the brothers an apostolic call, an apostolic mandate, and system. It's called the apostolic discipleship model. And it all started with home groups. You know, the American way of doing church, we start with a church, and then we do home groups out of it. And they do it the exact opposite. They get people saved, and those people start home groups in their house. And just whoever is in their area, those people come to their house and just have a meal and fellowship. And, you know, they just begin to grow in God that way. And then they go to the main church eventually, if they want to. And so through this, they've seen like 800 cell groups. No, 4,000 cell groups and like 800 churches birthed just in that region. And now God has given the brother a bigger assignment where he is training up anywhere from 25 to 100 families. And they're making sure that they're trained. They have, you know, like either they're lawyers or doctors or that landscape, some type of skill that when they move to this new city, that they'll be able to have work, that they'll be able to have skills. So he's training up these teams, moving them to a different city. And the first one he went to, he trained up, I think, 7 families. And within 2 years, there was 7,000 people in the church. Because each one of them started a cell group. And then after there was like 20 or 30 people, they split. And then, you know, they just kept growing and growing and growing. And so now he is sending out teams to South Korea, to Japan, to Caracas, Venezuela, to all these places. And they're building up teams and houses of the apostolic. And what really hit me on this trip is that the church is not funding missions. The church is centered around missions. It's not just about churches partnering with missions, but the whole point of their church is missions. And that is really what the mission of God is. It's the sending out. And as we are sent out, as we go, and as we bring people in, the church grows. So the point of missions is growing the church, and the point of the church is growing missions. It's this complete cycle, and it's one focus of growing the kingdom of God. And that's what, in this season, we have to really set our eyes on what the kingdom looks like. What does the kingdom, how does it operate? How does it move? How does it, you know, what are the systems within the kingdom? And 3 points of the kingdom is exactly what Genesis is all about. That scripture in the beginning when he tells Adam what to do. It's to multiply. It's to expand. It's to subdue. And that is what these churches down there are doing. They're going in to a place. They're multiplying. They're spreading out as little, you know, cell groups. But now they're expanding because now they're saying, hey, guys, just come over for a meal or something with us to their neighbors. And pretty soon they get saved. Now they're getting discipled. And now not only are they multiplying and expanding, but now in the spiritual realm, they're subduing the land under the kingdom of God. And this is really, it's simple stuff, but it's strategy for us to take into the spirit. Because as we go into regions, as we go into lands, even within Wisconsin, I feel there's a big stirring because the unity of the apostolic is not necessarily there. There's a lot of little pockets. There's a lot of little fires going. But I really feel like in this next year or so that God wants to unite the apostolic and prophetic into a movement that will sweep across to Wisconsin. Because as Wisconsin being the river state, there's something that Wisconsin holds. There's something that has to be released from Wisconsin that I believe will affect the rest of the country. Amen. But as we are tearing down, as we're building up the walls of the kingdom in the regions, I look at it as, we've seen it in our little squatter camp in Zambia, as we would go down and we did Jericho marches and we did a lot of this stuff. But what we saw as we're spiritually, you know, marking off the land for God and expanding, miracles, healings, prophetic words, words of knowledge, they become almost like bricks. And every time people get prophetic words, or every time people get healed, they are shoring up, they're solidifying the barrier that we're expanding. So as we go into land and we take land, the supernatural has to follow us. The light, yes, it disperses the darkness, but the supernatural has to follow us to shore up and solidify what God is doing in the spirit and make it tangible. And, you know, a tangible manifestation for people to see. And so this is what's exciting, you know. Let's play this for the Amazon before we go on. To give you guys, that was just a little glimpse of what the Amazon was like. We didn't know it, but while we were down there, there was also four other mission groups down there with us. One was ORU. And there was also three Brazilian teams with us. So they didn't tell us, but there was like 50 of us that had teamed up. So we built a church, and we had a blast, even though it was, you know, 12 hours of work a day in the hot sun and stuff. It was an awesome time. But one of those nights, if you saw, we were gathered in a circle. We got done working like 12 hours in the heat. And then the leader came up to me and asked, would you lead tonight at Bible study? And I said, when's Bible study? She's like, 15 minutes. And so we hurried up from the job site where we were building the church. And we went there, and God just really downloaded a word quick into my spirit. And it was for two groups, actually. It was for the villagers, but it was also for the college students that were on our team. And most of our team was college students. And I just saw, like, as I spoke and gave that word to them, I opened up the altar at the end, and to see all these college kids come running up, and they were just weeping. I mean, that just hit me. And then to see the villagers on this side coming up, and they're weeping. And we're, you know, our team is praying for them and stuff. That just hit me. Like, this is powerful. But we got to really just see God move in the Amazon and touch so many people, especially the pastors. It was a big, you know, our team really got to speak life and just encourage these pastors, you know, that are out there, really the heroes of the faith, actually. So let's just show this last one. It has to do with the land in Botswana. That I really feel like God's heart is really on it. If you have the other one, the one for Botswana. Because this region is steeped in witchcraft, but God is slowly like bringing light to this region. So this is the base we're believing God for. Amen. So that gives you an idea of the base we're praying for. So if you guys would pray with us for this base, and we're just believing that God is just going to move so mightily in Botswana. You know, the people in Botswana are they're very reserved people, but once God touches them, they come up to life, and they're just so passionate for the work of God. So it's exciting to see. We actually just got a call from the new YWAM director in Zambia, and he said that YWAM has heard about our ministry in Botswana and wants to partner with us because they don't have a base in Botswana yet. And so YWAM wants to, you know, partner with us to bring teams and to partner alongside us and to begin YWAM Botswana. So that's also a cool, exciting thing happening in the future here. But I just want to pray for you guys. I don't want to keep you long. I can be talking all day. But I just want to pray for you guys before we go here. So God, we just thank you. God, we just thank you for your presence here with us. We thank you for igniting the fire within us, God. We just pray that each and every one of us would go from this place, God, knowing that we are in you and you are in us, God. That where we walk in your name. That wherever we go, Father, we get to multiply and expand and subdue, Father, the spiritual realm around us, God. That we get to expand your kingdom, God. We just release that fresh fire among everyone here, Father. We just thank you for pouring out your fresh fire on everyone, God. That they would truly walk into a greater anointing from this day forward, God. Right now, we just release that fire from heaven, that fire of revival, that fire of passion, Father, that you are stirring within us, God, for this next season coming, that we have to be so rooted and grounded in you, but yet we also have to go. We also have to take that step out. And we just thank you, Father, that even this morning, you are calling us to greater levels of faith, God, that you are calling us to greater levels of authority in the Spirit, Father, to take hold of Wisconsin, to take hold of the nations as our inheritance, God. We thank you, Father, that there would be such a boldness that rises up within us, even today, Father, right now. We just thank you. We tap into the Spirit, Father. Just take a moment. Just take a moment with God. We thank you, Father. We tap into that anointing right now to expand and multiply and subdue, Father. That you would give us fresh apostolic vision. That you would give us fresh prophetic vision, Father, for this nation, for this region, Father. We thank you that you want to use us. And I just release that upon your saints this morning, God. I release that fresh revelation, God. That fresh revelations of Revelation 22, that garden that flows down the center street with the trees of life whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. See, in the Old Testament, in that old garden with Adam and Eve, there was one tree of life. There was one tree of good and evil. But they were meant to till the ground. They were meant to take care of the garden. And then in the new covenant, in this new garden that he has prepared for us, there's no tree of good and evil, but there's trees of life whose fruit are for the healing, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. And so we get to step into that place, into this new garden, this new Eden, as the scripture calls it, and we get to release fresh life to the nations. So God, we thank you that we get to be your co-heirs in this. We get to come and bring nations unto you and have them receive life, to have them receive joy. We receive that this morning, God. For Wisconsin, God, that there would be fresh rivers of living water, the River State, fresh rivers of living water flowing out of Wisconsin, because there are saints that have risen up and are taking back Wisconsin for Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you for such a revelation of our identity, an increase of strategy, God, so that where we would have warred and we would have spent time warring and fighting and declaring, and now it's just going to be we step into his name. We step into that garden place, and we no longer have to strive. We no longer have to pull from heaven and release. But because heaven is already within us, the kingdom is already within us, we get to stand in the places of darkness and just give it out. We get to release it from us, from the kingdom of God within us, from Jesus within us. We get to say, we know you want joy, so take it. We know this land needs peace, so take it. We know this land needs refreshing, so take it. And so, God, we stand in this place this morning saying, Jesus, give us this deep revelation that you are one with us, that the kingdom is inside of us.
That's right. Yeah.
That heaven is here because heaven is within us, waiting to be released into this earth. Stir us up, Jesus. Stir us up with a fresh passion for you. A fresh desire for your face. Face to face. That's the presence of God in Hebrew. Face to face. And we just thank you, God, that this morning we would be stirred up for a fresh encounter with you. Even those that have longed for encounters. I just feel like there's someone who has longed for encounters in here this morning. And they hear people about people encountering Jesus or having experiences with God. But in this season, he is releasing those experiences. He's releasing the dreams and visions. He's releasing those places where he will take you up into the heavenlies. And Father, we just release it to your saints this morning, a fresh dose of joy, a fresh dose of your excitement and passion, God. We thank you, God, that you are stirring us up for what you're already doing, God. Because we don't just cry out for revival anymore. Because revival's already here. And we're walking in it, God. But we cry out for awakening of the nations. We call out for reformation of the nations, God. As you are awakening your church, we thank you that your church, your ecclesia, is rising up. And it's expanding and multiplying and subduing. And that we get to do this with you, Jesus. So we thank you for this morning, God. We put it into your hands. Everything that was said, every encouragement, every prayer, sealed up in you with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that within us this week you are stirring. Even if we don't feel anything right now, we thank you that you are stirring within us, that healing is stirring within us, that the prophetic is stirring within us, that fresh strategy and vision and dreaming is stirring within us, where the devil has tried to get us tired and weary and forget about the dreams and visions that he's given us. This week, God, I believe you are stirring up within us what you have put in us. That fire, that passion, that desire for you. We thank you, Jesus. And we go out in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to just encourage you to go to the Garden Missions website and pray, honestly pray about giving into the ministry. We just want to pray for Nathan right now. And so, Father, we thank you for the challenging words, for the encouraging words that we received this morning. Father, we pray that you would bless Nathan's team, both here in Wisconsin and those in abroad in Zambia and Botswana, Lord God. We just pray that you continue to bless them, continue to give them the strategies from heaven, continue to supply all their needs, Lord God. We pray even into this land that they're looking at buying, Lord, we pray that you open that door and that you pour out the funds to do that, Lord God. We pray that you continue to move in them and through them. We pray for protection over them. We pray for health over them, Lord God. And we just give you all the praise and glory and the honor. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just declare, oh, Shanda, I heard the Lord said, I'm a strategic God, and I have the strategies of heaven that I'm downloading to you. You are not just going to have enough. You are going to have more than enough, because I am a more than enough God. And so, Father, we just thank you for that right now over this ministry. We thank you, Father. Fruit, fruit, fruit. Not just multiplied, but fruit that remains, God, that you declare. We declare over Garden Ministries, under Garden Missions, and we declare, God, your goodness will be felt, and it will vibrate. It will send a frequency through Africa, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you even right now, God, that you're sending a frequency. I don't know. I just hear the sound of heaven vibrating in the nation. And so, Father, I just thank you that, Father, it is a pioneering country. And so, Father, it's about sending out. It's not just receiving. Oh, tada mashanda. But it's the sending out to build up, to tear down those things that need to be rooted out. And so, Father God, we just thank you for the apostolic and the prophetic on this ministry. Begin to continue to increase in that, because we know it's a strategic time right now, that we can't do things on our own, that you need the strategies of heaven. And so, Father, whatever it looks like, God, I thank you for great faith and great boldness to go forward in all those things that you've called them to go forth in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.